This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, praise God. I want to talk to you today, and the title of my sermon is Born to Win. Hallelujah. And I'm going to say this, that, you know, God, I don't know. First of all, I'm going to say this. How many people, when you play a board game, do you play to lose? Everybody who plays a board game plays to win, right? In other words, winning is in our nature. Nobody likes to lose, amen? And so I don't know about you. My mom and dad used to play cards when they first got married. And I don't know if you ever heard of the game Rummy. Have you ever heard of that game called Rummy? 500 Rummy, you pay up to 500 points. It's a fun game. My grandmother taught that to me. And, of course, my dad and my mom. And my dad just was a good card player. He would try to lose, and he would still win. And it would make my mom so mad that he said, we have to quit playing cards or we're going to lose our marriage. Because my mom really, you know, she did not like to lose. And so I don't know about you, but nobody likes to lose in this life. And so I'm going to say this, that God created us to win in this life, no matter what circumstances might be telling us at times. And sometimes circumstances will tell you that we're losing. But my Bible tells me that we're winning. I heard about this one minister, and he was, I think he was on a missions trip, and he may have been on vacation. I'm not 100% sure, but he was in the Orient, and he was walking by a street where this shop was a tattoo parlor. And he saw different the tattoos that they were putting on people. And one of the tattoos read, Born to Lose. And so he was really intrigued by that. And he went in to talk to the proprietor and asked the tattoo artist, he said, has anybody ever put Born to Lose on their skin? He said, oh, yes. We've had people put that on their skin, Born to Lose. And then the minister said, well, why would they do that? And he said, you must be in your heart before it's out in your skin. In other words, what am I saying? I'm saying, as a man, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. In other words, if you think that you're a victim, you're a victim. If you think you are a loser or that you're an underdog, then that's what you are. But my Bible tells us differently. Amen? And we got to get a revelation of this, that when we receive Jesus, we're not promised a rose garden down here. Amen? In other words, a lot of times, and we think sometimes faith will overcome, and it will. It will overcome the issues and the problems in our life. But faith doesn't keep problems from coming our way. Is that right? And so we got to get a revelation of that. I love this scripture in 1 John 5:4-5. It says here, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? I'm going to say this morning, that if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are an overcomer. If you receive Jesus, it doesn't matter what is happening to us, what seemingly losses that we may be dealing with in our life. If Jesus is in your heart, you have already won. You are a victor. You know, I won the day that I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior back in 1986. I won the Mega Ball lottery, in a sense. I won heaven. I won, you know, a relationship with God. Amen. Well, of course, we don't win it. We receive it. But praise God, I'm telling you, that day that I received Christ, that day I was born to win. Amen. So in this life, we're going to encounter problems. We're going to encounter issues. We're going to encounter situations. But let that problem be your promotion. I'm going to say it again. Allow the problems in this life to be the stepping stones for the promotion that God has for you. Every problem, there's a promise that will take care of it. You believe that today? Now, I love this in John 16:33. And, you know, Jesus was with his disciples. We know that he walked with his disciples. And he was only going to be with his disciples for a short time, about 3.5 years. and so he was letting them know that he's going to be going back to heaven. He's going to be going back to the Father. That you know that his time was ending. Amen. And, you know, the disciples didn't like that. Peter didn't like it. Peter was saying, no, Jesus, you're going to hang out with us. You know, and so I'm going to say this, that Jesus was preparing them, amen, for the fact that he wasn't going to be around them in the physical, but he was going to do something much better. He was going to have the Holy Spirit empower them to live a life like Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And so I love this. And then in John 16:33, it says, this is Jesus speaking. Jesus says this, these things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But be of fear. Be of good cheer. Don't be full of fear. Amen. Oh, we got problems. No, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. So Jesus is saying here that in this, you know, in Jesus, we can have peace. You know, I'm going to say this to you this morning. You can have peace in the midst of your trial. You can have peace in the midst of the storms in life. You can have peace because the Prince of Peace abides in us. Do you believe that today? I like the Amplified, and let's look at this. This is really good. It says, the Amplified of John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. That's a lot. Amen. But be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Think about that today. Think about that. Jesus has overcome the world so that we can overcome the world. I used to say this, that, you know, somebody might be looking at your life and it looks like maybe your boat is going down. Maybe it's sinking. But you know, if Jesus is in your boat, it can't go down. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Remember, the boat was being capsized by the water. That one story about Jesus said, we're going to the other side. Remember, he was sleeping in the bow of the boat. And all of a sudden, his disciples started crying out. Every attack that the enemy attacks us with, he's trying to attack our faith. He's trying to attack our resolve. He's trying to attack, really, he's trying to get us in fear, doubt, and unbelief. And we can't allow that in our equation. We can't allow doubt. We can't allow fear, not for 1 second. And I'm telling you, when the waters of this life tries to overcome your boat, well, they cried out, Jesus, you careth that we perish. They were even doubting the love of Jesus. And sometimes when life is hitting us hard, we have a tendency to doubt the love of God. And every attack is an attack on our faith. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? And faith, hope, and love is how we exist in this life. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? So we got to stay in faith. We got to stay believing that you know, maybe there are some bad times, but good times are coming. Amen. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Where's your hope? Your hope better not be in modern science. It better be in God. Your hope better not be in staying away from people. It better be getting close to God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Your hope needs to stay in God. The enemy's attacking us. He's attacking our faith. He's attacking our resolve. He's trying to get us to doubt and not believe like the disciples when they were on the boat. And what did they do? They woke up Jesus, and Jesus said, "Peace, be still," to the storm, and everything calmed down. And Jesus said, "Where is your faith?" Where's our faith? You know what? Have faith in God. We need to start having some faith in God, that God is with us, He's for us, He's not against us. And if God is before us, it doesn't matter who's against us. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So we think sometimes when we come into this walk and we hear the message of faith that we're going to be Teflon and that nothing's going to bad's ever going to happen to us. And, you know, I think about that and I think about the Bible. And if you ever study out the Bible, there are actually bad things that happen to good people. All through the Bible. Some say, well, if God is so amazing and He is a God of love, why do bad things happen to good people? Bad things happen to all people. God rains His goodness on the just and the unjust. Right? And you could mean that could be two different meanings. Amen. But God rains his blessings on the just and the unjust, and the bad will come to the good and the evil. Are you hear what I'm saying to you? But there's a difference. When bad comes to us, we got Jesus. There's a difference. Jesus, you know, is walking with us through the storms of life. Amen. So Peter admonishes us this, that in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 11, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings," what? That word suffering? You mean we got to suffer every once in a while? Yeah. Yeah, there's going to be some sufferings in this life. "The same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To Him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." So what happens when there's an attack in our life? What happens when the enemy's coming against our finances or coming against our health or coming against our relationships? When we respond the right way to these attacks, we'll be perfected, we'll be established, we'll be strengthened, and we will be settled. How do you know you have faith until there's a faith test? How do you know you're truly walking in faith? Oh, yeah, everybody can walk in faith when everything's good going on. Everybody can come to church when there's no problems. You get a couple problems and I don't know. You know, we end up saying, oh, throw up our hands and say it's no use. No, not this group. We're not those that shrink back into perdition. But we're those that move forward in the kingdom of God. So if we respond properly, we'll be perfected, established, strengthened, and settled. James says it this way, and I notice that every patriarch and the writers of the Bible in the New Testament always talked about that we would have problems. And they always told us how to deal with issues and problems. James says it this way, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing." Amen. So what he's saying here is that the trial, if we respond to the trials or we respond to the problems in our life, if we respond the right way, there will be a tenacity built up in us. In other words, warriors are made in deserts. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? In other words, I know this is not Bible, okay? But makes you stronger. And I know that's not a scriptural, but what the enemy's trying to do to kill us, we respond the right way, we will become stronger. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So James is saying, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds. In other words, start rejoicing. Start praising God. Start giving God some glory. Not for the trial, not for the problem, but give God some glory because He's bringing you through it. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Give God some glory. Give Him some praise. Remember when Paul and Silas, they were preaching and they were preaching the gospel and they got thrown in jail. Amen. And they got beat. They got whipped. And the Bible says in the midnight hour, they started singing praises and worship to their God. They started worshiping God in the midnight. A midnight hour is the hour. It's that dog day. It's the evil day that the Bible says will come to each one of us. There will be some evil days. Many good days, just the evil day. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? And that evil day with Paul and Silas in Philippi, they started raising their voices. They started singing praises to God. And guess what? The prison shook. Guess what? The doors opened up and they walked out as free men. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? They practice what they preach. And we need to start preaching. You know, I just got over some sickness. And I'm back, praise God. Lazarus has rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And, you know, God saw me through it. Amen? And you can't keep a godly person down. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? You know, I'm telling you, the enemy may hit us, but we're going to get back up and hit him even harder. The devil's sorry he even messed with us. He's sorry he messed with you. He's sorry he messed with your family. I'm telling you right now. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? He's sorry that he messed with Paul and Silas because they got the miracle. Peter got the miracle when he was in prison, and they were gonna execute him the following day, and all the people in the church started praying for him, and the angel of the Lord came in and caused the chains to drop off of his body, opened the prison door, and let him out. And guess what? Peter was doing that night. He was sleeping like a baby. The angel had to smote him, the Bible said, just to wake him up. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? In other words, what happens when a problem, when a trial, when a tribulation comes our way? You just might need to take a nap. You need to rest in the Lord, glory to God. You need to just cast your cares on God. You need to trust God. You got to believe that God has it in hand. Do you believe that today? Amen. You know, the devil might be the big bad wolf, but you know what? His teeth has been pulled. Amen. Glory to God. And your faith is the brick house that he cannot blow down. And as you keep building your faith, you're building your brick house. Brick house. I think there was a song, but we won't go there. And we... Mighty, mighty. All right, we won't go there. God is mighty, mighty. Amen. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. That's my old carnal days. Amen. We'll focus. Amen. But we're building a brick house of faith where it's impregnable, glory to God, where the devil won't be able to get in, glory to God. We're building. Every time the enemy tries to do something against us, we get stronger. Every time the church gets under persecution, the church grows. Every time the enemy tries to put the light out of the church, the church gets brighter. Glory to God. The devil is sorry that he ever came against us and he's ever coming against Exceed Life Church because we're bouncing back. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Hallelujah. Paul gives an admonition to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor and he was dealing with, you know, he was dealing with a little fear in his life. Anybody ever deal with a little fear every once in a while? And so Timothy was dealing with a little bit of fear. That's where Paul says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Every attack that the enemy attacks us, he's trying to get fear in our life. And so Paul says to Timothy, he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. That fear is another word, timidity. That word timidity is that the enemy's trying to intimidate us. He's trying to intimidate the body of Christ. He's trying to get the body of Christ to cower down in fear, not to walk out the gifts and callings of God in our lives. To play it, there are times where we play it way too safe. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? I'm glad Peter didn't play it that safe when he saw Jesus on the water and he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come out on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter didn't play it safe. He walked out on the water. And I'm telling you, if you're going to walk in faith, you're going to have to take some risk in this life. You're going to have to step out into the water when it looks dangerous. You're going to have to keep moving in God. You're still going to have to keep witnessing. You're still going to have to keep doing the right things. Why? Because we're not those that shrink back. We're not going to allow fear to keep us from moving forward in the things of God. And so he also actually says to Timothy, do not fear, do not be intimidated. In other words, don't allow timidity to control your life. Another word for timidity is cowardness. Amen? We don't want cowardness in our life. A coward will die 1,000 deaths, but a hero will only die once. What do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? It means that you don't consider your life, you consider the lives of everybody around you as more valuable than your life. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? We love our lives not unto the death. Amen? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Well, Pastor, that sounds like to me that you're telling me to sell out for God. Yes, I'm telling you to sell out for God. You're telling me that I'm supposed to be putting God first place and doing what God's calling me to do. Yes, I'm telling you, you need to put God first place, trust Him, and do what God is calling you to do. Sometimes we can't play it too safe. Amen? Paul's instruction to Timothy, he says, endure suffering, 2 Timothy 2:3, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So, hey, listen, I got to tell you this. You guys are soldiers. You guys are warriors. You guys are conquerors. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? God, we're soldiers in the... I never served in a natural military. I never was in the Navy. I watched a lot of Gomer Pyle. I watched a lot of Hogan Heroes. But my dad was military, glory to God. But I do serve, and I serve in the army of God. And I pick up my cross every day. How about you? So we need to pick up our cross and follow Jesus to the best of our abilities. You believe that today? Yes. Amen. So Paul is saying, endure suffering with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. I like what Paul says. He says in Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, finally, brethren, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So, you know, we're not strong in ourselves. We're strong in God. In other words, greater is He, Jesus, that is in me, than He that is in the world. In other words, I'm not on my own. In other words, I got the Almighty God living on the inside of me, and I got angels at my beck and call. I got God's heavenly army at my beck and call when I speak the word of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? So you're not by yourself. We got the Holy Spirit that empowers us to do the impossible. So it says here, finally, my brethren, be strong, Lord, and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So our battle is not flesh and blood. Our battle is against the spiritual dark forces that's trying to keep us from moving forward in God. That's trying to get us to back up in our faith in God. These spiritual forces, these dark forces are trying to keep us in fear from advancing in the kingdom of God, and we won't allow them to do it. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So he says here, put on the full armor of God and stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen? And so he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's the evil day. Having done all, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you're able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So what he's saying is that, you know, Paul is likening that we are in a battle and we need to put our battle armor on every day. We need to make sure there's an attack, that the enemy's going to attack, the helmet of salvation, and the devil's going to say to you at times, you think you really saved? Look how bad you just messed up today. Well, you better keep your helmet of salvation on, glory to God, because the enemy is a liar. And if you receive Jesus, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You have right standing with God. The blood of Jesus, as long as you try and do everything you can to walk in Christ, then the blood of Jesus consistently cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Somebody say, I'm right with God. There was a song put out by Billy Joel, I'm an innocent man. I don't know if anybody ever listened to Billy Joel, but he was one of my secular artists. And he, I am an innocent man, that's who I am. An innocent man. Amen? And that's how one of the lines go on the song. And we're innocent because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. Not because of our own righteousness. Not because of our own goodness. Not because we're in church this morning. No, it's more than just that. It's because we have faith and trust in the blood. Thank God we're innocent. Thank God we have a right standing with God the Father. Thank God. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So make sure you have your helmet of salvation. Make sure you have your breastplate of righteousness. Glory to God. That you're walking in right standing with the Father and that you're walking in love towards other people. Glory to God. Make sure you're girding your loins with truth. Make sure that you understand the truth of God's word and you're living by the truth. And the truth is, if God is before you, it doesn't matter who's against you. The truth is that you and God are the majority. The truth is that God's truth is more true than the natural conditions that are coming against us. Amen. The Bible says, let every man be a liar and God's word be true. Let every symptom that attacks our body be a lie, and let God's word, Jesus' stripes, I am healed, be true. Glory to God. Amen. Paul encourages us as we don't need to be focusing on the external things of life. When things happen in the natural, we sometimes we go ballistic. But we need to be more heavenly minded than earthly minded. We need to be more, our minds need to be more in the Word of God than in the Word of the news or in the Word of the doctor. No, our minds need to be heavenly minded. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I like what he says here in 2 Corinthians 4:7-9. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Glory to God. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Yes, you know, the enemy is coming against the body of Christ. Or if you are a believer and you're doing some good things in God and you're walking with God and you're being your best, you are a target. If you're not getting hit with anything, then you're probably not walking against the devil. You're probably walking with him. So are you listening to what I'm saying? You're going to be hit. We're going to get a few hits, but we're going to keep getting back up. We're not going to let those hits keep us down in Jesus' name. So he's saying here that we may be hard-pressed on every side, yet we're not crushed. We may be perplexed. Hey, why did that happen? I'm perplexed. Yeah, you could be perplexed, but you're not in despair. You may be persecuted, but you're not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. So in 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, dropping it down, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is just but for a moment. Somebody say light afflictions. They didn't have your ice cream at the store. Light afflictions. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Light afflictions. Whatever we encounter in this life really are light afflictions. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Have you studied out what Paul went through? He suffered mighty things. Amen? So praise God. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, listen, don't get so caught up in the natural things of life. Don't get so caught up in what's going on out here. Don't get so caught up in the natural. But be more focused. Don't be so focused on the external. Be more focused on the internal. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And so we are being assaulted by trials. The enemy's trying to put doubt on us. He's trying to get us to throw in the towel. He's trying to get us to quit. Glory to God. But we are not quitters. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Whenever the enemy is attacking me, I try to, and I feel like that at times I feel like, God, are you there? God, are you really with me? God, and I know he is. But sometimes our feelings will get the best of us at times. Have you ever had feelings? Whoa, feelings come against you at times. Trying to tell you things aren't working. Trying to tell you things, you know, your faithfulness is not working. Trying to dictate your attitude. So in Jeremiah 29:11, I stand on this for it may look like, you know, maybe life may not be looking too good. And you're thinking, oh my God, what's going to happen next? But you need to stay on Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. When God had Jeremiah write this down, this was when the Israelites were in Babylonian captivity. This is when the enemy was triumphing over him. And God had him write this, hey, I know the plans that I have for you. You may feel like that the enemy has knocked you down, had taken the wind out of your sails. We may feel like that here at Exceed Life Church, because Arlene Winhelm to be in heaven. She was a rock. She always aspired to be a gospel singer. Now she's singing the gospel for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? It's much better to be there than here. And we should not be feeling sorry for Arlene because she's in a good place. Hallelujah. She's on streets of gold. And she finally got her man. She kept saying, Pastor, I'm going to have my own house. I'm going to get my own house. God's going to get me a house. And you know what? He got her a house. He got her a mansion. My house. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you? She's got her house. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Much better than any house, any earthly house you can get down here. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Galatians 6:9. So don't get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Amen. Hebrews 10:35. And this is Paul exhorting. I believe Paul wrote this, but he's exhorting the Hebrews not to turn back on their faith, not to go back into Judaism. And he says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Listen to that. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, for it has great reward. What is the enemy trying to come against? Our confidence. What is the devil trying to steal from us? Confidence. I like what one minister, what's his name? He has a T-shirt, Christian, Todd White. And one of his T-shirts is Godfidence. Godfidence. It's a confidence, Godfidence. I like that. And Godfidence, I think what he's saying is we're confident in God. That we don't shrink back. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So it says, therefore, not cast away your Godfidence, your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. So after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. Amen. You know, in Romans 8:18, it says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time not to be worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Because the devil's going to try to hit you with his best shot, fire away. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? The devil's going to try to hit you as hard as he can. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? And I'm telling you, his whole goal is to get you to back up, to back off, to shrink away. Amen. But I'm telling you, the harder they fall, right? But we're not falling, amen? We're hitting back. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Glory to God. So we got to get a revelation, amen? So we got to consider the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. I love this scripture. I used to didn't like this scripture, but I'm beginning to like it. Amen. And I like this because, you know, when you hear this scripture, we know that all things work together. What? Yeah, all things, good and bad. What? You mean, Pastor, bad things can work for my benefit? You're telling me, Pastor, pain can work for my benefit? Well, if you work out, it can. Because you're going to be sore when you work out, amen? Pain is a part of life. Are you telling me, Pastor, that pain that comes in my life could cause me to move forward? Yes. The children of Israel, when they were in captivity to the Egyptian Pharaoh, the Bible said they got so disgusted with their circumstances, they started crying out to God. The pain got so strong, they started praying. Are you listening? And sometimes when pain comes our way, it should push us into the presence Are you listening to what I'm saying today? It shouldn't be. We shouldn't wait for pain to come for us to get into God's presence. But a lot of times pain pushes us. The circumstances that seem to come against us at times pushes us on our knees. And sometimes we need pain in our life to move forward. Sometimes we need the pain of not sensing God's presence like we want to. The pain of not sensing God's peace. Oh, I know, I got to get in His presence. I got to get His anointing on my life. If I'm feeling dry, if I'm feeling all burned out, I need to get to God. That's pain to me. Right. Are you listening to what I'm saying today? That's God telling me, get in my presence. Because if I'm not sensing the joy in His presence, there's fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will grumble and complain about it. No, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I'm telling you, your will has something to do with your attitude. What? Your will has something to do with your attitude. It's not aptitude, but attitude that determines your altitude. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? We got to get a revelation of this. I like what it says in Romans. It says in 8:28, dropping down, it says, and we know all things work together for good to those. I just read this, but we're going to read it one more time. For good to those who love God, called according to His purpose. Now we're dropping down to 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Hello. But pastor, all hell's breaking loose against me. God's not against you. Amen. But pastor, wrong things are happening. God's not propagating that. God's not behind the bad and the ugly. He's only behind the good. All good gifts come from the Father of lights above. So if something's coming against us, God's not coming against us. The enemy's coming against us. God's not your enemy. The enemy is. And it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Notice that. He said, if God wasn't willing to, to not give up His Son to the cross, He was willing to give up His Son to the cross. Why? So that He could freely give us all things. Do you think God the Father delighted, well, in a sense He did, because He knew that we would have us, but He was pleased with Jesus' sacrifice. You know, if you look at Jesus and you look at the 12 apostles of the Lamb and you study out their life, you'll find out that Jesus got crucified and all 11 got martyred. But they're still triumphant in God. They're getting the special accolades that all the martyrs get in heaven, because martyrs get a special crown. How many people want the martyr's crown in here? Okay, continue. Are you listening to one? I don't have any takers. Did you raise your hand? Praise God. I'll tell you, I would like to go out in a blaze. Hallelujah. If you're going to go out in a blaze. Stephen, that was preaching to the Pharisees. He walked in power and he walked in miracles. And the devil says, I'm going to kill Stephen through the Pharisees. And the Bible says that they took up stones, the Pharisees. And because, you know, Stephen said, you stiff-necked people always resisting the Holy Spirit. And it kind of take them off a little bit. You always murdering the prophets. And so Stephen was telling them like it was. They got up stones. They started gritting their teeth. And they threw stones at Stephen, the first martyr of the church. And he said, Lord, hold not this sin against them. Remember? And he fell to his death. But you know what? The devil said, that's it. I knocked out one of the disciples of God. I'm telling you, he walked in the power gifts. And then Paul was there holding the coats for the people that was stoning Stephen. And so God said, okay, devil, If that's the way you do it, I'm going to put the anointing on the Apostle Paul. I'm going to make him one of the greatest apostles out there. You think you took Stephen out. Now you cut off one head, two heads will appear. Glory to God. And so Paul ended up going from Saul of Tarsus that persecuted the Christian church to Paul the apostle that built up the church, that raised up many churches, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Glory to God. The devil thought that he had the word, you know, knocked out of Stephen and knocked out of the church, but the church grew even stronger. So whenever the enemy tries to do something against you, I was thinking about, the different stories in the Bible. Joseph, he was thrown in a pit, but he went from a pit to Potiphar's house, to the prison, to the palace. Oh, you listen to what I'm saying to you. Abraham and Sarah, they got their, Abram and Sarai, and they got their names changed to Abraham and Sarah, glory to God. God added to them and gave them their promised child, Isaac. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Job, was attacked by the devil. The devil came and tried to steal everything that he had. He was an upright man, walked with God. Amen. And God gave him double for his trouble. Turned his whole life around. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? So just because we're getting hit, you get ready. When the problem comes, get ready for the promotion. Amen. When Goliath is boasting about how big and bad he is in your life, I'm talking about the Goliath of debt. I'm talking about the Goliath of sickness. I'm talking about the Goliath of broken relationships. When he starts boasting and bragging that he has you, you better start speaking some smack right back to him. And David said, you may come against me with a javelin, with a sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. And my God will deliver you into my hands. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? That problem that was against the Israelites that day, that was against David in a way, became David's promotion. He said, what it will be given to the man that takes this guy out? All the taxes will be paid. You'll be the king's personal friend. you'll have all these accolades. And David said, tell me that again. What's the reward? Are you telling me I can be a hero to my family? Sign me up. I'm telling you, I'm not looking at the suffering that I got to go through. I'm looking at the reward that I'm going to get. Oh, man, you don't have the right perspective if you're a Christian and you're thinking about all the suffering you got to suffer down here for Christ. You got the wrong perspective. You better become reward-minded. You better start focusing on the crown of life that you're going to receive when you get to heaven. You better start focusing on the soul winner's crown. Glory to God. You need to start focusing on all the crowns that you're going to be crowned with and all the rewards and all the blessings. I'm running after the blessing. I'm believing God for great rewards. The Bible says that some people did not renounce Christ, but they were sawed in half. They were martyred. They were stoned for a greater resurrection. Are you listening to what I'm saying to you today? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at this, and I'm closing down. It says here, if Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, and also make intercession for us, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Shall peril? Shall sword? Sword means death. As is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen, I'm going to say this to you today. The devil's trying to separate us from God's love. The devil's trying to separate us from the perspective that God doesn't love us. He's trying to get us, give us a revelation that we're on our own. But you're not on your own. If God is with you, and God is for you, and God is making you more than a conqueror, no matter what it looks like, He is causing us to be reborn to win. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you're not raising up wimps in Exceed Life Church, but you're raising up warriors. And I thank you, Father God, we are not those that will shrink back into perdition, but we will be those that press in to walk out the gifts and the callings of God in our lives. And I thank you, Father God, for the precious saints here this morning. And I thank you for the precious saints that are watching online. And perhaps you're there and you're watching online and you have not put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Well, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that you pick up your cross and follow Jesus. So if that's you today, you're ready to move forward in God, just say, "Dear God, I believe, Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Jesus, I believe you were raised from the dead for my justification. Today, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me, empower me with your Holy Spirit to win in this life. In Jesus' name, amen."
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.